Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 workspace and Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I am very excited to have a conversation today with TB Consulting Director of Sales, Steve Walker. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks so much for having us.
Great to have you. So let's just get started by telling us, what was the first job that you ever had?
Ooh, first job I ever had. Lifeguard.
Me too, actually. Yep. Taco Bell before lifeguard, but I grew up as a City of Tempe lifeguard for all the years I was in college and high school.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Where were you a lifeguard?
So I grew up in Vacaville, California.
So legit beach lifeguarding.
Oh, no, no, no. This is Vacaville's known for their outlets and onion festivals. So no, it's Central Valley. It's close to Napa.
Okay. All right.
So when people give me a funny look, I say Napa.
I know where Napa is.
Everyone knows. Everyone
everybody,
does.
Everybody ought to know. My cousin owns Satui Winery.
Oh, wow.
In Napa and the Casa de Amorosa as well. Yes. Yeah.
Well, next time you're up there, you should go stop by that.
I don't get there enough, but next time we will, we'll swing through Napaville and we'll get some onions.
There you go.
So we were both lifeguards, neither of which saving people on the, you know, in the ocean,
nope.
a pool, right? But hey, that's still important.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then tell us a little bit about your journey as a business person and a consultant and what led you to TB Consulting.
Yeah. So I went to San Diego State, which was awesome. I love San Diego State.
There's an ocean there.
There is an ocean there. Yes. I wasn't a lifeguard though. So out of San Diego State, I was a double major. I had a liberal studies with a history major. But when I graduated, I came to the realization that it was really going to be tough to keep the San Diego dream alive with the teacher's salary. So shockingly, when you graduate from San Diego State with those majors, there isn't a line of people that are dying to hire you. That's a tough realization. Like everyone else, I joined the world of sales. First job was I was selling mortgage websites. I was selling websites. So it totally taught me the work ethic. There's nothing more humbling than making a couple hundred dials a day to earn your keep. So that's really where I learned that, you know, the importance of staying positive. Nothing creates a thick skin more than having to make all those dials and keeping that positive attitude and perseverance. So great lessons to be learned out of there. I think everybody should have that experience. It's similar to working in a restaurant.
Yes.
Right? Is getting that fundamental experience and knowing what it takes to make those, you know, those dreams come true.
Yeah.
Nothing is handed to you. So that was my first experience right out of college in the context of a corporate world, right? And then from there, you know, it's funny. It's a funny story. So the CEO of TB Consulting out of college in that first job, I actually cold called him.
Oh, perfect.
It's a funny story. He hung up on me.
Of course.
Yeah. And so I said, you know, I'm going to call that guy back. So I called him back. Fast forward, geez, it's probably been 16, 17 years now. Fast forward, here we are.
Wow. A few things in between that time, but I'll go with that.
There was a few things that happened. But no, it's a funny story, and I think it's a interesting lesson in, oh man.
So many things. Grit, tenacity, stick-to-itness,
yeah.
Perseverance.
And you know what? That door slams in your face, and knock on it again.
Yes, and keep knocking.
Yes. So no, that's a fun lesson. We always joke about that.
I love that. So tell us about TB Consulting then. So you had this friendship or some sort of business relationship with the owner.
Yep.
And he invited you to come and be, I'm assuming it's a he.
Yes.
invited you to come be on the team at the level that you're at right now? Or did you have other positions with TB Consulting?
No. So I really came on as an individual contributor, driving net new opportunities, introducing TBC and our story to the market and driving opportunities. So that's really where I started. And again, it's just been hard work. Figuring out the Edison way of how not to do things, to figure out how to do things.
Right.
And really, we've grown a lot. You know, TBC is, we like to joke around, we've been around for 20 plus years. We started in 1996, but we're a 22-year-old startup, right?
And I love that.
And keep that mentality of continuing to have to reinvent yourself to maintain relevance, especially in the technology industry that we're in.
So let's talk about that. TB Consulting stands for Technical and Business Consulting.
Yep.
And tell us a little bit about who you are. And this, you mentioned that, you know, you guys joke about the story that you have to share. Tell us the story about TB Consulting.
Yeah. So 100 employees here in the Valley, headquarters up in Scottsdale. And really our focus is empowering our clients to transform and grow. And what we do is we do the mundane exceptionally well. And so what that means to us and to our clients and how we empower our clients to transform and grow is, you know, in a traditional shop, and we work mostly with organizations that have 500,000 employees or something or a little bit larger. And really, so what we do is we enable them to get out of IT being anchored to their business, right? So if you look at the different functions inside of an organization, specifically IT, a lot of the team members in a IT department internally, they are glorified firefighters, right? So they run around fixing things all day long while trying to react to the business's needs, whether that's additional capacity or new platforms or different business initiatives, and trying to support them while trying to also support their legacy infrastructure and legacy systems, right? So what we do is we bring our structured approach, right? And that's people, that's process, and that's technology, and really enable our clients to get out of the keep the lights on commoditized functions and start thinking about how can they align with their business. And that's really one of the overarching messages that's consistent throughout, you know, from CIOs and business leaders in the IT space is business alignment, right? It used to be that CIOs and the IT leadership in a business, they grew up in the IT ranks. Now, 65-75% have grown up in the business side, right? So they have MBAs and they were either COOs or they were program directors or they were product managers. And it's really that business-centric mentality to really leverage IT as a way to no longer be a cost center, but how can it be a revenue center? So what we do is we help our clients get out of that, keep the lights on functions, because really those systems, they should just turn on, right? And they should be there. And really we're moving to more of this agile mentality. You know, when we think about IT automation and the disruption that technology has brought to just about every single market, you know, that's super important. So when the board members talk about let's go to cloud or the C-suite talks about cloud, what they're really worried about is how am I going to react to the market change and how am I going to leverage technology to transform the way that I interact or do business with the market, right? Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And all these moving parts are sometimes a lot for an organization or a business to embrace and handle on their own.
Absolutely, right? We are not saying that it is not complex. It is complex. And, you know, we feel for those clients that we go into and you see a guy that works 90 hours a week and he's doing his best to be a superhero, but it doesn't have to be that way. You know, so really our job is to help obfuscate those complexities while still making sure that we give transparency and visibility to our clients. So we don't want to take stuff away from the business, right? We want to empower the business, right? And lean in. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. How long are you, and I'm sure it varies, but how long are you in relationship with these companies then? Is it long-term?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have clients that we've been in, you know, partnerships for 10 plus years. And, you know, we're there from, like we say, day one, day two to day 3000. It's really important for us to be partnered with our clients. And the more visibility we can gain into their business, the more relevant we can be, right? And that was the thought around TB Consulting, is that technology is technology. And you never want to be the technologist that is enamored by just the technology, because it could be a red box, a blue box, a green box. And we may love that particular color, but if it's not solving a business problem,
who cares what color the box is?
Exactly, yeah. Right? We're just, we're playing with toys at that point.
Yeah. So people and process and technology is really where you guys come in and mm-hmm. help create this robust opportunity to grow through those things. Are there any principles that guide you guys as a company? What makes TB Consulting kind of hum?
Yeah. So we have, I think you're inferring to our core values.
Sure.
So our core values are our passion, innovation, and partnership. And it's not just, you know, another cliche use of the word partnership, but we look at partnership in three different lenses, right? We look at that in the lens of our people. So we see a partnership as a two-way street. So it has to be reciprocal. So with our employees, right, they have to provide value and we have to provide value. And we both have to be dedicated in making sure that there is reciprocal value. And we see our employees, right, as truly as a partnership with each one of our employees. We look at that with our actual clients. It has to be a partnership in that sense that we have 10-year relationships and that we're there for 3,000. We're not just there to, you know, give them a different technology that's going to solve all their problems, right? We have to implement it together. We have to operate it together and we have to maintain visibility and again, maintain value in a reciprocal way, right? They can't take advantage of us and we can't take advantage of them. Otherwise, that partnership isn't going to be sustainable. And then we also have technology partners that we go to market with. And really, we see those partnerships are super important to us, right? And so those are, you know, we have some, you know, Nutanix is a big partner of ours. And really, we define that in two ways. One, it's technology that's great that empowers us to deliver an awesome outcome. And two, we have organizational alignment with that team to provide reciprocal business back and forth. And really, those are kind of the two the pillars of a partnership with a technology. Passion, right? If you're not passionate about what you do, you know, it's no fun to go to work. And we work hard and we play hard. So really, we look at every single one of our employees and each one of our clients technology. Is it something we're going to be passionate about and something that we're going to be really excited about? And again, innovation. Again, we're a 20-year-old startup and you always have to reinvent yourself and you can never get comfortable. So we're always looking at different ways to be innovative in our approach to market, innovative with our clients, innovative with the way that we deliver our services. And really, that's one of our three core values. So those are the things that we live and look at ourselves at each day.
Very good. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, we are in MAC6 and we are in part sponsored by Conscious Capitalism. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that movement or not, but it's an international movement. And one of the things we talk a lot about is stakeholder relationships, right? We can't sacrifice a relationship with an employee for a vendor or for a client or a customer. We want to make sure that we're looking for the win-win in everything we do. And it sounds like obviously you guys do just that.
Yeah. And it is having that long-term lens, right? It's easy to get distracted. And for us, right, it's all about that systematic long-term vision versus that opportunistic temptation that's always there.
Yeah. And the core values or guiding principles help us keep going back to say, how are we doing against this?
Yeah.
Are we who we say we are? Mm-hmm. And if we've stepped away from it, how can we quickly get it back to get on the right track?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's consistently looking through those lenses and it's consistently measuring yourself against those core values. So, you know, we do that with all of our employees and have them look at us. You know, we're going through this, I'll plug our EOS coach. We're going through this traction exercise and I see it on your shelf over there. So I'm sure you're familiar with the Gina Wickman methodology, but yeah, we're going through that. So we look at each one of our employees through those core values and we do reviews in the context of those core values. And it's really been a cool experience and has been enlightening and making sure that we continue that culture and really every day that we come to work, we look at what we do.
You guys serve companies just in Arizona or you're all over the country? Tell us a little bit about the physical demographics.
Yeah. So we have clients all over the country. And really, we used to be fairly focused on geographic. But over the last year and a half, 2 years, we've really been more focused on, can we find philosophical alignment? And that's been a different way to look at going to market. Just because someone is here doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be more philosophically aligned with who we are and what we want to do and what they're trying to achieve in the alignment there. So we have clients all over the country, and it's, you know, in this new age where people work from home and WebEx is okay. I still think it's difficult to replace a face-to-face meeting, but really for us, it's more important to find that philosophical alignment.
Did you guys make that discovery working with your EOS implementer, or was this part of something that you guys knew that you had to really stand behind?
I think it was a little bit of both. And I think that EOS exercises has really brought a lot of clarity and ensured that we're all aligned on that shared vision.
And holds us accountable, doesn't it?
Exactly. So we look at that consistently, and we always, you know, I have my VTO traction organizer. It's something that we look at all the time. And so, no, it's in there. And, you know, we think about profiling and who our target market is and who that persona is. So I would say we were looking at that, but I think the traction and the EOS accountability has really brought that to life and made it an organizational concept versus more pockets.
Mm-hmm. Very good. EOS for our listeners is Entrepreneurial Operating System. Gene Wickman and others have provided an opportunity for business consultants to get certified and become implementers for the EOS process. Yep. I'm not an implementer, but here at Mac 6, we have a couple of people here. And John Deiter does his show out of our station. It's called Business Solutions Radio.
Okay.
And I'm sure, I don't know who your EOS implementer is, but you're welcome to give them a shout out if that feels right. I'm sure that our listeners would know who they are. It's a fantastic organization. It's folks who are really committed to helping other business owners and really enterprises make a huge difference in their bottom line, mm-hmm. in the joy and coming to work, keeping that passion alive, being innovative, and again, making sure that all stakeholders are valued. And I love that you guys are working with somebody in particular.
Yeah. So we're working with CJ Dubay. So she's awesome.
Very good. Well, shout out to CJ then.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, our original founder, Marcus Seipel, he just joined the EOS ranks and is.
And got.
And so, yeah, he's the first certified.
Love that. I know I haven't been around Mac 6 long. It's just been almost a year. But I know the same synergy and energy has happened for folks here because they had an implementer. And then a few of them decided, oh, my gosh, this is really who we are. Let's go become, you know, implementers ourselves, get certified and carry the banner and the torch forward as well. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I love that you pointed out the traction book. John just brought me another copy because every once in a while he's like, okay, be sure to give these away. If somebody's curious and it piques their curiosity, or like in your case, they're familiar.
Yeah.
Say to them, which one don't you have, and let them take it with them. So excellent work.
I was going to drop it, but I wasn't sure where that conversation was going to lead, but I saw the book up there.
I think we did a safe job. We'll have to ask CJ if we did okay there.
Yeah.
So tell us about what products and services TBC offers. We've kind of talked around it, right?
Yeah.
Technology and business solutions and consulting, but get a little bit more granular for us.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So really what we do, and again, like I said, it's that people, it's that process, and it's that technology. So when we look at infrastructure, for example, many companies struggle with how are they going to go to the cloud? Are they going to maintain their existing footprint on premise? Are they going to have a data center? Are they going to have a hybrid cloud? Where, you know, how am I going to manage this journey into this brave new cloud world? So what we do is we really focus on the infrastructure side of it. So we help our clients navigate those waters. And, you know, it's funny, most people say that people are either going into the cloud or they're coming back from the cloud. So it's from our standpoint, I think what we're going to find is that people are going to be in a hybrid environment, right? Really, because cloud is just an infrastructure consumption methodology. So you're just consuming someone else's infrastructure. And it doesn't always make sense. Really, from our standpoint, what we say is the business requirement should drive the infrastructure consumption methodology. So if it's a stable workload, you're probably better off having either a private cloud or having infrastructure at a colo or having infrastructure on site if there is some data locality or compliance driver, right? But Office 365, put it in the cloud. There's no rhyme or reason to actually have it on premise. It just doesn't make sense, right? And there will be other workloads that make way more sense to have in the cloud. So we help our clients navigate that journey and figure out what applications should live in a data center that we could manage that infrastructure for them and just deliver it as a service, and then help them navigate what applications should live in the cloud. And that's a significant spend for an IT organization, right? And it also could be the biggest spend that could be a big mistake, right? Because the hyper cloud, right? The AWSs, the Azures of the world for the wrong workload could be 30, 40, 50, 60, even double what the costs were when they had it on premise, right? So that's, unless the business value is so great that it makes sense to do that, it probably makes more sense to have some sort of a hybrid cloud and either put that in a private cloud environment or for them to have that on site. So really that's where we focus, is on that infrastructure side and helping them be responsible cloud consumers. And I also want to take a minute to help describe what cloud means and why in my opinion and how we see the world, why is there this big push to cloud, right? And so I like to anchor the conversation there, because cloud means lots of things, or it doesn't mean anything, and people are wildly confused as to what I'm talking about. So I want to just take a second and describe that. So why cloud? So if we look at kind of the state of the union, 1950s, S&P 500 average life expectancy for an organization to be on that list, 65 years. That's how long a company in the 1950s had been on the S&P 500. Today, that's 27 years. Right? And they expect that to go to 2027. It could be closer to 15 years. So that's a massive drop in life expectancy for these organizations. And why is that happening? It's through IT automation. It's through IT disruption. So it's the automation, right? You think about the Ubers, the Amazons, the Airbnbs, all of these technology companies that have no inventory, but are completely decimating industries, right? So that's what's causing the life expectancy of those organizations to drop so dramatically, because there's so much disruption. It's happening across every single industry, right? So when we talk about cloud, what that means to the board, they're talking about, oh my gosh, how are we going to be disrupted? I need to think from an agile standpoint, how am I going to take advantage of either the disruption and the opportunities in the marketplace, or react to other people that are trying to eat my lunch, right? It's a net zero sum game. Someone else is going to eat their lunch. So when we look at it from that context, the board is thinking, I need to be agile. And when they say cloud, they're thinking about the tenets of cloud. They don't necessarily say, I want AWS or I want Azure or I want you to solve it this way or that way. They, from a technical perspective, they don't really care. They want those capabilities so their business can react to the market, right? So when we think about what does cloud mean, what it means is elasticity. It means scalability. It means financial visibility, right? It means the shared economy. So I no longer have to have experts in all these different areas, right? I can have fractional experts, right? And so that's what and then self-service is the final one. So that's what the business wants. They want access to it now. They want to be able to grow fast, and they want to be able to shrink, and they want to have visibility on what they're paying for, right? So those are the things that they're looking for. And we can deliver those things in different ways, whether it's a private cloud, it's a hybrid cloud, whether it's going to the public cloud, all those are options, right? And our job is to help navigate clients on that journey. And on top of that, create the processes and the governance models so that they can figure out, where does my data live? Am I being secure? Am I being compliant? All those things still have to exist. And so from our standpoint, being able to help a client go down that road and be responsible with their infrastructure, which is going to be the majority of their spend when it comes to IT, that's really where we transform the way organizations deliver IT services to their teams. Did that help?
That was fascinating. And yes, that helps a great deal.
Okay.
Project managers. They are on your team, or is it a combination of folks from TB Consulting, but also a company organization might also have a project manager that's, full-time on staff as well? Does it vary?
Yeah, it does vary, right? But at the end of the day, we deliver the program managers, and we have project managers on each one of our teams and for our clients' teams. And really, their job is to be that conduit. And whether they're leveraging our clients' resources or whether they're leveraging our resources, that's just another task that's being done but it's tied to an overarching program.
Mm-hmm.
So that's super important for us. And it's a great point, is that we see ourselves as an extension of their team and not another black box, right? Because that doesn't help, right? We have to maintain that visibility and be able to tie, have visibility across their organization and into our organization.
And your relationship with the vendors keeps you agile. It also keeps you innovative and on top of not just trends for the sake of being trendy,
yep.
but also knowing what's happening and coming down the pike and where companies are happening. Because a lot of these companies, I would imagine, are not always as well-versed mm-hmm. if they're just blinders on, focused on whatever it is that they deliver.
Absolutely, right? And if you think about an organization and you have people that have been at that organization for the last 10 years, they're not going to be nearly as exposed to all the trends that are out there. And they've been myopic, right? And so there's this whole paradigm shift and this conflict where resources are not necessarily going to be hugging servers anymore. A lot of that stuff, it's all software defined, right? And so you think about retooling, that's part of the discussion that has to happen. How do I retool this resource that has been patching servers and lived inside a data center for the last 15 years? How do I retool this resource to now look at my business and think, how can I transform either this business unit or how can I help automate this business process, right? And that's kind of that's an important topic when you talk to directors and people that have to manage the resources. They've got to retool their teams to think about how can I empower the business versus I provide value by being an IT superhero, right? Mm.
Boy, that sounds more appealing, at least for those of us that prefer superhero life. That's great. With the long-term commitments that you have, both with your vendors and partners, but also your clients, is there a particular story or success that you are particularly proud of on either a vendor relationship side or a client side, or one that really expresses both? Just give us an example of something that brings you great pride and joy.
Yeah. So for us, our definition of a success is when we've empowered our clients to transform the way that they look at their business, right? And I didn't get any disclosures from my clients to name names. But really, it's if our clients can get out of the day-to-day, keep the lights on, and look at their business, and they can come back to us and say, oh, we transformed this business unit. We saved $5 million for this business unit by adding QR codes to our inventory to decrease the amount of life they sit on the shelf, or we were able to send back, $10 million worth of inventory that we didn't need, right? And so that's super exciting for us. And that's when we've done our job.
Yes.
We haven't just got them out of the infrastructure game, which at the end of the day is mundane. But by getting them out of that mundane, keep the lights on functionality, we got them to go think about their business, and they transformed their business and had X, Y, or Z success in the context of either finding more clients or transforming a business unit or automating a business workflow or process. That's the stuff that gets us super excited.
I love that you've mentioned, focusing kind of on the mundane. And you mentioned that a couple of times. It's helping them get out of the weeds,
yep.
and make processes and the IT easier so that they can begin to focus on longer term growth and or sustainability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And it gets them retooled and refocused on the definition of success for them.
Whatever it is for them.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Because at the end of the day, what we do is can be commoditized, right? It's everyone's a special snowflake. So each client's a special snowflake. But at the end of the day, what we do for them, it is very repeatable. This is what we do. We transform them out of the bowl of spaghetti into crystal clear processes where we have visibility and we perform all of our day-to-day IT boring functions, but they have to be done to make sure that the lights turn on.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can't get innovative without doing the fundamentals, right? You can't have all the cool toys and the self-service without doing the basics right. So we walk them through the whole maturity curve and enable them, and we can automate and do really cool things when we've done the basics right.
When the fundamentals
are there, right? Because you can't automate something that isn't documented, right? So, so getting them out of that mindset and getting them out of that distraction. Now they're out of the weeds. Now that stuff is just magically taken care of. Well, not magically. There's a lot of mundane work that goes into making that magic come true. But now they can look at their business, right? And it's creating that space, creating that freedom for them to focus on their business.
Love it. When I was looking at some of the information that you guys shared in preparation for our conversation today, one of the things that was mentioned was the 5D methodology.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to that a little bit? Because I found that I found that fascinating and interesting.
Yeah. And again, back to the mundane and back to the engineering mentality, yep. Right? If you follow the same process over and over again, all of a sudden this world of what was wildly complex, if you just do it one time, that's what we do every day, right? So when we approach every new initiative, we follow the same 5Ds, right? It's discover, it's design, it's develop, it's deploy, and it's debrief. And I don't care if you're going to the Costco, or if you're moving data centers, or you're moving your applications to the to AWS, if you follow that approach, you're going to make sure that you have everything you need from Costco for Thanksgiving, and you're going to have a successful migration or a lift and shift or an infrastructure refresh. It's being methodical and it's being organized and it's being rehearsed.
Yeah. As you were describing that, I was thinking before you mentioned the Costco example, I was thinking about really an exercise plan, right? It's one thing to know about exercising.
Yes.
It's another thing to know where the gym is and belong to it. It's another thing to get up every day and make that commitment and know which muscles you need to be moving and that sort of thing. And so when people get into the groove with that, whether it's an organization or it's an individual, that's how we make progress. And
mm-hmm.
and it may be boring. It may be mundane. It could be described as simple,
yep.
But it's in those simplicities and the nature of that gets you where you want to go long term.
Yeah, and it's the same concept as checklist manifesto, right? And there's tons of studies out there that the benefits of following a checklist reduces risk, right? For whether you're administering a patient with antibiotics or if you're checking a checklist is before you take off on a 737. It's prudent to go through your checklist. And it's not fair for us to look at our engineers and say, why didn't you do something if we don't provide them the checklist, right? Because then you inherently introduce risk by having humans being left to their own devices, which there's stress, there's blood sugar levels, right? There's all sorts of different things that go into people's decision-making capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So having that checklist is really key.
Tell us about your ITOC service. That's US-based. Is that somewhere else?
Nope. So they're all, our headquarters in Scottsdale and our IT operations center is based out of Aligned Energies, which is kind of out by Deerfield. So yeah, it's 24/7, man, 365. Everyone's here in the Valley. And no, we don't outsource anything. We call it onshoring. So everybody has an Arizona accent when you come into our operations center. And what that it allows us to maintain consistency, right? And we know that when our clients need something, they're going to have someone here in the U.S. You know, it is difficult, not necessarily following the sun, because people do have to come in, you know, and man the IT operations center 24/7. But the level of comfort that gives these clients, because they're really giving us their baby, right? And we take pride in what we deliver. So, you know, that was a decision that we made, is to keep everything onshore.
Smart. Steve, is there anything that I haven't thought to ask about TB Consulting that really needs to be shared as we're winding up our conversation today?
No. I think that for us, when we're having new conversations, it's really about aiming the conversation on what would you think about if this distraction wasn't there. Like in your industry, in your business, how can you be disruptive, right? Because the disruption's coming. It either has happened, someone's doing it, or there's someone in their garage that is going to completely disrupt your industry, right? So those are the conversations that are super fun for us. And we think about that ourselves, right? Because someone's going to disrupt us. And so I would just encourage, you know, everybody to think about, what's happening in my industry? How can I be that disruptor versus waiting for it to happen or think, oh no, my industry, we can't be disrupted,
mm-hmm.
right? So that has been proven wrong by the history books.
Excellent point. How does that conversation begin between TB Consulting and whatever company is interested in stepping forward and saying, hey, is it as easy as a phone call? Is it some sort of assessment that needs to be made? How does one company begin to get started with you guys?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we have account managers that would love to chat with anybody that's just interested in kind of this conversation. And it really is a conversation to kind of understand where you are today and really where you want to go. And really where we do well is companies that are philosophically aligned on that. And they really want to get ahead, and they want to be part of that transformation. They want to be the ones that disrupt. Reaching out to go to our website. You can learn more about us. You can go to our LinkedIn or follow us on Twitter. You know, those are all great ways to get in touch with us. So yeah.
Good. And the website is?
At tbconsulting.com.
That's easy enough.
Yep.
Very wise choice.
Yeah.
Good. So LinkedIn, you guys are on LinkedIn, you're on Twitter, you have your website.
Yep.
And it's just as easy as poking around and getting a feel. Is there any vertical or industry that you are focused on, or is it pretty wide open?
You know, it's, like I said, what we do could be every single industry needs to have infrastructure that their applications run mm-hmm. on, right? No one's getting around that. Where we often resonate well is organizations that have compliance-driven needs. You know, for us, compliance is a huge focus. And so, you know, whether that's HIPAA or whether that's the financial industry or the public sector, there's lots of nuances that go into that. And having that governance model is super important for those clients. And our value proposition has really resonated well with them. It's not necessarily that if you're not in a compliance-driven industry, you shouldn't do it the right way. But usually our value proposition is a lot higher when they're mandated to do mm-hmm. so.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. It's been great to get to know you and learn about TB Consulting. I want to thank you, Steve Walker, for spending your afternoon with us. And one more time, it's tbconsulting.com.
Yep.
And also look for them on Twitter and LinkedIn. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.